All right. I'm so excited to have the word being brought to us by such a wonderful man of God today. So let's hear from God. Let's hear from Madison what God has to say.
Madison.
Thank you.
I thank you, Matt, and the other deciding members that are responsible for me being here today. I thank you so much for the invitation. We came here second Sunday in June, 1978. That wasn't yesterday. It was our second appointment. Our first appointment was St. Luke Church, Whitfield Avenue in Savannah. We left there and came here. And we had four beautiful years here. We finally started understanding each other in our second year. And some of you shaking your head, you still don't understand me. Well, that's okay. Carol doesn't either. It's wonderful to be back. Thank you for the privilege. And to see you and to think about the faces that are not here, that were here when I stood in this pulpit on those Sundays way back in the 70s and 80s. I'm grateful for your pastor, Matt. He's sharing in the ministry of our church at Magnolia Manor, Richmond Hill. Magnolia Manor is a senior adult ministry sponsored by the Methodist Church, not just for Methodists, for anyone and everyone, but sponsored as a Methodist ministry of our South Georgia Conference. I was blessed to be chaplain there for 8 years. And like Matt, your pastors before him came on a monthly basis and brought devotions. They have devotion there every weekday morning at 10 o'clock. Your lay leader, Bob, has started coming, and he's a regular there. And men and women, lay people and pastors from across this area, from all denominations, come and bring a devotion one morning a month. And most of them come the same day each month. It's a marvelous ministry, and I'm grateful that you share in that ministry through allowing people in your congregation and your chaplain, excuse me, and your lay leader and Larry Strickland, he's not lay leader anymore. Thank you. And I need to say also that door's open for you. If you know someone that's worthy of going one morning for about 30 minutes and sharing the devotion, it's a marvelous way. It's a ministry that touches at the very heart of where people are living, making changes in their lives, and so forth. It's just a marvelous place. Thank you for the invitation, and thank you for allowing your pastor and your pastors before him to participate in that ministry. Today I want to talk about a word we don't hear a lot today, and that's the word atonement. I want to talk about the doctrine of atonement. There are those who say atonement is simply atoning so that we can be one. Through Christ, God made atonement for his people. And then in the Old Testament days, in a few minutes, I'll tell you how God atoned, made atonement available through his people before Christ. Leviticus, the 11th chapter, 17th chapter, verse 11, Leviticus 17, verse 11, reads, "For the life of a creature is in the blood. and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood of the creature. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Now, the King James reads the same way, except for just a couple of words. For the life of the flesh is the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. Atonement is a major part of our salvation. Today, I want us to understand the specifics of atonement. What atonement actually means, and two, what it means in terms of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now, it is possible to understand the general idea of atonement and not to understand atonement completely. Some people are confused about atonement, and the confusion is brought about by the fact that atonement was different in the Old Testament than it is in the New Testament. The definition for Christian atonement is simply the reconciliation of God and man through Jesus Christ. The reconciliation of God and man through Jesus Christ. Christian atonement. When we use the word atone in a secular sense, and we do, we're typically talking about making amends in a relationship. Now, you ladies know full well what I'm talking about. I'll explain. When I do something to hurt Carol's feelings, I may take her flowers, candy, card, to atone for my action, for offending her. In so doing, you see, I am seeking to repair the damage that I did to our relationship. The damage that is breaking the intimacy that is supposed to be in a relationship between husband and wife, fathers and parents and children and our Lord and our God. Atonement. Atonement. The relationship of God and man made available to us through Jesus Christ. The reason that has to be is because, are you with me? Sin cuts us off from God. Because God is holy. We are sinful, and God cannot and will not associate with sin. When there's sin in our life, we have to atone for that sin. Because sin always damages our relationship with our God, like it damages my relationship with my wife. We need to remove the sin, then, that separates us from God. Biblical atonement is the removal of the sin in order to restore our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We want to atone for our sin so we can restore our relationship with our Heavenly Father. With atonement in the Old Testament, one word jumps up, and that word is sacrifice. Always remember sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. The lady that loved to buy dresses oftentimes would come home when she had been shopping with a new dress. And her husband sort of got tired of it, and he said to her one day, "You know, I think you need to quit buying dresses. You buy dresses all the time. You never wear all these dresses." She said, "Well, you know, I really try not to, but it seems like it just overcomes me." He said, "Well, you, next time you're in the store and you feel like you're being overcome, realize who are doing that. That's Satan doing that. And you just simply say, 'Satan, get thee behind me.'" So some days later, she came home and she had a new dress, a smashing red new dress. And she showed it to him, and she said, don't say anything until you see it on me, and you'll know why I bought it. So she tried it on, and she modeled it for him. And he said, did you say to Satan what I told you to say to him? She said, I did. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. And when I did, he said, I am, and it is smashing back here too. You see, sometimes we get ourselves in a mess that we've got to get out of it somehow. And God's given us the gift of atonement. For the life of the creature is the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourself on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life and soul. Romans tells us that the price for sin is death. The Old Testament says the wages of sin is death. Sin brought death into the world. Sin always leads to death of some sort. It always leads to death. God set up the sacrificial system allowing the death of animals in the Old Testament to pay the price of our death, of man's death. The sin of him, human being. The sacrificial system recorded in Leviticus and other places in the Old Testament was given to humanity, God's people, by God, so he could restore his people. And the shedding of the blood of the animals transferred the consequences of their sin, death, to the animal. So the animal died rather than they died. The blood of the animal was the life of the animal. The blood of the animal was the life of humanity when we made our sacrifice and God accepted our sacrifice. The animal paid the price for our sin. Now we saw this clearly, we see it clearly in the Old Testament when we read about the ritual of the Day of Atonement. Listen to me carefully. The high priest would select two goats for the day, the annual day of atonement. He would select those two goats from the community. One of the goats would be slaughtered and sacrificed by God's plan, exactly as ordered out in Leviticus, in order to make atonement for the people's sins. One of the goats sacrificed, slaughtered, spilled his blood in order to make atonement for the people's sin. The other goat, however, served a symbolic purpose, if you will. It is what we know of as the scapegoat. And this is where the name came from, I understand. The scapegoat, the use of the two goats was important in the ritual. The live goat, the scapegoat, the goat that wasn't killed, showed their sin being carried away. It was a reminder to the people of their need to have their sin taken away. God forgave it, but they needed to see it being taken away. So, the priest would put all those sins of the confessed people on this goat and put it in the hands of a man, and that man would take this goat out into the wilderness, and all of the sins of the people were taken away. They had been forgiven by the blood of one goat, and now they're taken away from the people by the sacrificial goat who takes the sins away. That's Old Testament atonement. New Testament atonement, sacrifice. Remember the word sacrifice. We followers of Jesus do not make amendments. We do not make ritual sacrifices today in order to atone for their sins, our sins. That changed with Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection. However, the basic principle of atonement has not changed. The price, the wages of sin is still death. The price of sin still has to be paid. Which means that death and sacrifice are still necessary in order for us to atone for our sins. That is very clear in the New Testament. Hebrew 22 reads, "The Old Testament law required that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Blood has to be spilled for your sins and mine to be forgiven and redeemed." So what is being sacrificed in the New Testament? Not the animals, but God's Son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He made the sacrifice for our sins. He makes it available. He made it available, correct me. He made it available through his death on the cross that we can have our relationship with our Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. Christian atonement, then, is a reconciliation of God and man through Jesus Christ. The removal of sin in order to restore our relationship between us and our God. The sin has to be removed. It has to be taken away. It's not put on a goat and sent out in the wilderness. It's put on Christ. And he died. And he took away, and he still takes away our sin. Every sin of every man, woman, and child, every sin. Every sin confessed. Every sin that reaches out to our Lord and says, "Yes, yes, I receive your gift given to me on the cross. I receive your gift of your new life, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ." By taking the punishment for our sin upon himself, he has opened the door for all people, for every person. He has opened the door to make amends with our God for our sin. It matters not what our age is. She said to me at Magnolia Manor one day, "I need to talk to you sometime after hearing you today." I said, "I have time now." And she stuttered, and finally she agreed to go to my office. And she said, "Well, that's what you said out there. How can it be?" And I told her, I said, "There's no way that you can stop God from loving you. You have not done anything to stop God from loving you. I don't know anything much about your life, but I want to tell you, I know that you cannot do anything to make God stop loving you. I know that. And I also know that all you have to do to know his forgiving love and acceptance is just simply pray, 'Oh God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me.'" And she had, and we had a conversation, a kind of lengthy conversation. What do I do about? She thought that, like a lot of us think, the things in our life, no one else would have to deal with. God couldn't possibly, he might forgive you, but he couldn't possibly forgive me, for I was one. And I got her to understand that had nothing to do her salvation, her forgiveness, her intimate relationship with her Lord had absolutely nothing to do with her. It was all given to her through her Heavenly Father when He sent Jesus Christ and He died on the cross. Any sin, every sin, He removes and He restores our relationship. We are given a relationship with our Heavenly Father, and we are given His life here today, Jerry. We don't have to wait until we're in the by and by. No, we are given His relationship. It starts today. Bishop Kenneth Goodson told numerous times about when he was 4 years old, he accepted Christ and was called into the ministry. And his daddy was a pastor, and his daddy couldn't comprehend how a little boy like you could possibly. And finally, after several years of this going by, somebody, the same way with me and Tammy, our daughter Tammy, somebody got me to understand, got him to understand that God can communicate with anybody, anytime, any age. It doesn't matter that. This boy knows what God's asking him to do. Our pastor said to me, "Madison, don't you think we need to pay attention to Tammy and what she's saying to us?" Brother Tillman knew what I needed to do, but he didn't tell me what I needed to do. He wanted to help me see what and one day I realized what a mistake I made. Here's a child ready to accept her Lord and know Him and love Him and live with Him and serve Him, and she's in her 50s and she's still doing it. So it nothing matters with God, you see. He loves us. He loves you. And you're precious in His sight. If you have a child, if you have a spouse, a family member that you're having trouble comprehending how God will ever win that person, call that person's name every time you think about it to your God, to your Heavenly Father. And say, "Lord, I'm still bringing them to You. I believe You. And I want them to know You, love You, and serve You, and enjoy the joy that You bring into a life when You come into that life." But we have to give up. That's a sacrifice. I hadn't said anything about us sacrificing yet, right? Animals sacrificed for us. Jesus sacrificed for us. Now we have a sacrifice. We've got to give up that separates us, that interferes in our relationship with our God. Whatever it is, it's the most important thing in our life, or we wouldn't be trying to hold on to it. Or maybe it's one of the most important things in our life. When we say, "Lord, I give You myself. I give You this weakness, this struggle that I have, this temptation that stays with me. Lord, I give it to You, believing fully that Your word says that You will accept me and love me and forgive me, and I will know the joy of Your redemption." And when you pray that, when you say that, tell somebody. Tell your wife or your father or your parent or your child or your dog or your cat or your bird. Tell somebody, because the Lord needs to hear you say it. And Romans tells us that we are to tell. We are to speak. We are to say what the Lord has done and is doing. I'm beginning my life with Christ. Help me as I begin my life with Christ. Find a Sunday school class. Find a group of guys or ladies that have a prayer meeting. Do something that will give you some nourishment from people who are making the same kind of struggles in their life, giving up the same kinds of things that me and you struggle to give up, because we all do. When you get my age and Marjorie's age and even older than Marjorie, you'll still be struggling. You'll still be struggling with something that you've got to give up. It's just part of life, right? But our Lord loves us and knows that. You see, He came to earth, I'm closing. He came to earth and lived with us Emmanuel, Christmas. Remember, we say Emmanuel, God with us, came to earth in Christ, lived and walked with us, and knows every detail about our life because he's been here. And he left and he gave us his Holy Spirit, him living within us, speaking to us, guiding us, directing us, loving us, encouraging. Wow. We can't say enough about what he does in our life through his Holy Spirit as he continues to pour himself into us and enable us to stand up for Jesus. Homecoming, the greatest homecoming is coming. We don't know when, but it's coming. And it'll be all these people that you and I miss that's not here today. Wow. And thousands and thousands of others. May God bless you. May he use this message to help you. May he encourage you. May he not allow you to forget what he's saying you now. And may he enable you to say, yes, my Lord. Yes, my Lord, I'm going to accept the blood of Christ as my atonement for my broken relationship with you. May God bless you. Amen.